Hello and welcome to this episode of the Layover Podcast. This is the one for season 5, episode 2, which hopefully you've watched. We are recording this just 7 hours after it came out, so it's all fresh. And as always, you know, we're going to be walking through the episode, answering your questions as you go. And with me is, I can't pick which order to introduce you in this week. I'm going to go non-traditional. It's Toby, Adam, and Ben.
Is that non-traditional to do Toby, Adam, and Ben?
Well, yeah, because I think everyone always says, at least I always say Ben and Adam. It just feels more right than Adam and Ben. I can't tell you why.
It does feel more right. It feels more right to put me first.
I always say Adam and Ben, frankly.
It just feels like the right order.
No, I think I say Ben and Adam as well, too.
Well, because Toby's on my team, I think I usually say Toby after Ben and Adam. I don't know.
No complaints coming first this time.
Okay.
I feel like you should introduce us and then we should say hi. It feels weird to just say our names and then continue on.
Yeah, but they already know who you are.
Well, if they already know who we are, then what's the point of introducing us in the first place?
All right, fine.
I'm going to say hi anyway. Hi. I don't have the stomach flu this week. I had the stomach flu last week, which is why I didn't talk that much.
Yeah, you might have noticed that Ben didn't talk that much because he had norovirus.
But I'm going to talk a lot this week.
And Ben, Adam, and I are exhausted because we have been... Well, we're actually, we've been together all day, but no longer are together because it's tough to record podcasts when you're in the same room because we've been, today has been our thumbnail photo shoot day and we've been recording the ad reads for those noobs who don't have Nebula yet.
Yeah.
And we've been recording, we also recorded little end caps to the episodes this season. I guess you probably already know that.
On Nebula,
Yeah, actually, they're going to be retroactively added to the first two. So maybe you didn't see it when you watched it originally. But basically, thanking you for watching and telling people to listen to this and giving you a little recommendation. We actually took those recommendations seriously for like what else to watch on Nebula.
We actually had a lot of arguments about who was allowed to recommend what because we all tried to recommend Night of the Coconut.
Yeah, but I put it in the document
and
first.
He got it first. It's true.
I got the right to do it.
Yeah. What did you do today, Toby? We did this.
You did. It is currently 8 a.m. for me, and I have done nothing but wake up and read comments on the newest episode. I actually
am. That's the worst way to wake up.
I am a little bit crazy, and I might have set an alarm in the middle of the night to wake up, look at the new episode you posted, look at the comments, leave a comment, and then go back to sleep. I may have done that.
Well, the
that
comments
last
are
night.
Very nice.
Were the comments good? I haven't read them. How do you feel about them?
The comments seem very nice.
Oh, good.
I'm like really pleased to see that people don't hate me and there's some nice comments about Team Toby and Sam. So I don't know. It's nice. It's been a really good community, I think.
Team Toby and Sam or?
I knew you were going to pull me up on that.
I just opened up the comments and the first one I saw said, I've always been Team Ben and Adam, but with Tibby's on Sam's team, it was an easy switch.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You got to respect
charmed
that.
Him away.
So little allegiance, but
got to respect
I
it.
I understand. So speaking of Toby, Toby and I are in jail at the start of the episode.
Yeah, yeah. We were at our lowest at that point.
Yeah. And then we were freed because I guess we kind of covered what we did during the jail at the end of the last layover episode. So then we're freed. And you have anything else to add about getting freed from jail, Toby?
Not too much. You see it all happen.
Yeah.
I guess the vibes were that we were feeling pretty stressed and we felt at every opportunity we just needed to make up time.
But luckily, Ben and Adam arrive at Okaiho.
Yeah.
Well, we see at the beginning of the episode the introduction of the snack zone.
Kind of.
Yes.
The proto snack zone.
The proto snack zone. Now, that originally was not in the cut. I had cut it out because I thought it would be terrible for retention, and it probably will be, to open the episode with us doing a snack review. And yet, we did it anyway.
I threw a fit.
Yeah, Ben threw a fit. We had an argument about this. And I said, Ben, if you really think we should do it, then I'll do it. And he said, I really think we should do it. And so there it is.
You got to set up the snack zone.
So how hard did you expect memorizing the song to be?
Okay. Yeah. So much easier than it was.
This is a great example of a challenge where when we were writing it, Sam was like, I don't think that this is possible. And we were like, shut up, idiot. It's fine. And then we do it and it's like, oh, this is so much harder than we thought it was.
Look, here's what I'll say. The way that we designed the challenge was we found this rail tunnel that seemed cool. And then we were like, what could we do in the rail tunnel? And at first we were going to make it so you had to throw a paper airplane all the way through the rail tunnel, but we couldn't figure out how long it was. And we spent a really long time trying to figure out how long it was, and we couldn't get a confident answer. So then we were like, okay, what's something else we could do? Then Ben found the Okaihau Express. And so then we just looked up the lyrics sheet, but we didn't look at what they were. We just looked at how long the lyrics sheet was. And it was like a page. And we were like, well, that'll be easy. Like a page of lyrics. We were like, that'll take what? 10, 15 minutes, maybe. We didn't realize how weird and annoying and specific the song would be. And none of the lyrics make any sense. And they all use like doing like the like versus the of. And there are even lyrics that I think we didn't even include in there. What were some that didn't even make the cut, Ben? Like there were some weird ones. He's got all day to do it in and 30 miles to go. That's like a really weird lyric that I don't even think is addressed.
I just had such a bad visceral reaction to you even saying that. Because I was so stressed out that hearing it's still, I could probably do that whole song. We shouldn't.
We could do the whole song. Donovan made a punk rock cover of the Okaihau Express for something that we can't tell you about yet. But just for listeners of the podcast, we right now are going to play a punk rock cover of the Okaihau Express that we got made. We're just going to play you a little bit of it right now, like the first 30 seconds. Now.
Well, she starts out from Okteria, the smallest train you've seen. This is the Okaihau Express. An engine and a guardsman with a carriage in between. This is the Okaihau Express. The driver doesn't worry if he takes the journey slow. Driving the Okaihau Express. He's got all day to do it, 30 miles to go. Driving the Okaihau.
Pretty sick, right?
This is a big moment for Okaihau.
Yeah.
That was amazing, yeah.
Pretty phenomenal.
Try and figure out what we possibly commissioned that for.
Yeah.
I love the footage of you guys in the tunnel. That is, to me, the funniest moment of the episode. It's just you guys really struggling with that. And yeah, it's like, you look at the words, they're extremely difficult to memorize. And I loved it. It was so funny to see.
One of the things about this season that you might notice already and might continue to notice is that we talked about last season how we had a pretty short amount of time to prep this season that was shortened. And we also had, what was the final challenge count in the end?
74.
74 challenges, many of which, you know, never even got used. So there were times when the challenges were maybe a little bit less well validated than they might have been in other seasons just by not enough time. You know, with things like, I don't know, the impossibility of digging a hole or the Okaihau Express being more difficult than impossible, which in a way it's kind of nice because it meant that there was a little bit more chance and variability and like route selection that could impact this.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's ultimately as good that we didn't have that much time to figure out how long everything would take because it created more noise and variability for the game.
Mm-hmm. And I think it actually genuinely led to more opportunity. I mean, we've talked about how there's always a bit of a kind of experience gap between y'all and myself and the guest because y'all do the playtesting and the challenge design. So I think it actually opened up opportunity for us because y'all hadn't researched the challenges in quite the level of detail that you might have in prior seasons.
Totally. Totally. I mean, I was the one that edited that sequence. It took us 40 minutes of attempts. So I had 40 minutes of footage that I had to try to cut into something watchable. I think ultimately it's like there's 4.5 or 5 minutes of footage of us attempting that. And that was a nightmare. And I remember when I realized when Ben and I split up the episode, I was going to have to edit that. That's like the thing I was dreading the most, was trying to edit together 40 minutes of us attempting to sing the same song over and over again.
And the version that made it in was so much shorter than the original.
Yeah, the original edit of it was like 7 or 8 minutes. And I think we like cut it in half.
Everyone's asking for a copy of the full version. Are you going to give that to them?
We'll give them most of it. But actually, we were there for so long that our camera died.
Oh, no.
And we didn't realize it for a while. And we were really afraid that we had lost like all of our attempts, but it turned out that like we only lost like 2 minutes. So we can't release the uncut footage, but maybe if a lot of people want it, we will release it, but it's very boring.
So we got one question about the driving bits. C_Owl asked, so we saw Adam, Sam, and Toby drive, but the real question is, does Ben drive?
No, I don't drive at all this season. I technically have a driver's license, but
Ben's a New Yorker.
I don't drive. Well, we would have to go back to when I was 15.
Oh, wow.
Go back. Go ahead.
I was in love with my best friend. And for 7 years, I was in love with my best friend. And finally, I had gone off to camp and another girl liked me. And I came back and I told her that she liked me. And then she was like, I think we should date. So I started dating her. But I was so stressed out that I was in driver's ed and I was having these panic attacks about dating this girl that I had had a crush on for so long. And then I had so many panic attacks in driver's ed that I couldn't finish driver's ed. So then I didn't drive. I didn't have a driver's license when it was normal. And then I went through all of college without a driver's license. And then after college, I had to move to Colorado because that's where Sam lives.
You decided to. I don't force you.
And so I learned how to drive in like a month after college, but I'm still really bad at it. So I don't do it. That's the story of why I don't drive.
And I think the other side of this that I heard about was that because of your theoretical ability, but relative experience with driving, you were likely to be a bit slower. And so Adam was like, oh no, I'll just do it all because he'd be a faster driver.
Yeah. Well, that was the other thing. It was like, if Ben drove, he was going to have to drive. I was not exceeding the speed limit, but like apart from turns and stuff, I was hitting the speed limit because, you know, that was the thing to do. And I knew that if Ben was driving, he just wouldn't be as comfortable doing that. And it would push us behind. And also, I tend to get car sick if I'm not driving. So there were just like a lot of reasons that it made sense for me to drive the whole way.
So Toby, we had finally a moment of, well, two moments of good luck. Thanks to, I don't know, seemingly your participation, because my luck is never good. But as soon as you got involved in that, things turned around, right?
Yeah. I managed to roll some good numbers. I mathematically calculated the initial conditions of the roll and was able to come up on top. We had some good luck there, actually. What happened? We did the lotto shop. We did the waterfall or the waterfall car park. It was fun.
Okay, so the thing about the waterfall is that we meant in the challenge to say that you have to roll the dice, or originally it was going to be flip a coin, in front of the waterfall. But we forgot to write that in, which then resulted in you guys only going to the parking lot.
Yeah, look, when you edited the graphic in the episode to say like they were only 50 seconds from this, I guess like in hindsight, if we were only 50 seconds, we could have gone there and had a look. But I didn't know we were only 50 seconds away. In my view, we were an unknown amount of distance away from the actual waterfall. So it's like, I mentioned before, we were in such a rush, we wanted to make up every minute of time, so we didn't even consider going to have a look at it.
Yeah, and I realized as we were driving away, I realized that probably there was something neglected there, because I realized that we could have rolled that die actually just before the gate, which was not right where the waterfall was. It was back at the road, maybe 5 or 7 minutes away. And with that roll, we would have actually saved 5 minutes or almost 10 minutes by not having deviated from the route and gone to the car park. That was an extra minute that we theoretically could have gained under the rules, because it didn't tell us where at all we had to roll.
It's true. Yeah. Well, the important thing was just that we got to throw in a little bit of footage so the audience got to see Rainbow Falls, which,
yeah.
And in many ways, it's the best of both worlds. You all were deprived of seeing something cool, but the audience was not deprived. And that's what's important.
Yeah. And that's really what Adam's going for, is depriving me of
that is any, what I'm going for most of the time.
Any good experience. Yeah. Yeah, so then y'all barely eke it out in front of us, get to the intersection, and you had to choose your route. I guess you kind of explained already, but any more detail about why, beyond it was supposed to be really scenic, why did you choose the eastern route?
Well, what's funny is that actually we don't explain it like at all. I don't remember why we didn't explain it, but
yeah, you basically said it'd be pretty.
Yeah, that's why we had to edit it that way, is we had you guys describe what you wanted to do, and then we had Toby say, I think they're going to go east because they want to go to the Bay of Islands. And that way we were able to use the only footage we have of us, which is just us going, we're going to the Bay of Islands.
So was there more to it?
In our heads, like the way that we had designed these routes, they were supposed to be equivalent. And so we figured we would do the route with the cool stuff if everything else was the same. But we just had evaluated that incorrectly.
Yeah, we were ultimately wrong about that. And one thing that I realized later was if you are ahead, it actually makes sense for you to go on a longer route that has fewer challenges because it reduces the benefit of following behind. Because if you're following behind, the only time you make up is the time the other team spends doing challenges. So if we go west, it would have been less of a good idea for you to follow us because we would have both had to drive the whole amount and you would have only gained the small amount of challenge time. So that was another reason that arguably we should have gone west. But I wanted to go east. I wanted to see the Bay of Islands. And we did, and it was awesome. And there's actually another challenge that'll happen next week that's on the eastern route that I was even more excited about. And it was another reason that I wanted to go east. And you know what? It's not all about winning, okay? It's about having a beautiful trip with your beloved friend, right? And seeing a lovely country, and that's what we did.
Yep.
I think it kind of is all about winning.
Well, I think that's sad.
Well, those are the words of somebody who has not been doing a lot of winning. So
those sound like the words of a person who realized that they went on the wrong route and it happened.
You know, once you've won 3 jet lags in a row, you just want to enjoy it, you know? It's like winning becomes so blasé.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To be clear, we really wanted to win, and we were very upset that it turned out the east route was a bad idea.
I think on our side, you know, Toby, especially in these early days, I said early days, this is actually still like, what, like 2 p.m. on day one?
Yeah,
day one.
Especially on these early episodes, I don't think we had made the switch yet of who the driver was. So Toby was doing a lot of the route analysis. One thing that was kind of useful for us is the game was kind of designed, y'all were kind of planning out the routes. You designed the kind of base map for this and picked which routes we did. So it was kind of like the game was designed with your all's assumptions.
Yes. Our biases were built in.
Right. So therefore, we had an opportunity essentially to figure out where your assumptions were wrong. Mm-hmm. Whereas you didn't really, because those were your assumptions.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And I think that's a lot of what you were kind of looking into, right, Toby?
Yeah, and on that topic, the job of being a passenger in this game was not an easy one because the driver is driving, but the passenger is analyzing all of the possible routes, all of the possible times that it could take to do each challenge. And yeah, in Sam and I's case, it's trying to actually calculate, you know, Ben and Adam said this one will take 20 minutes, but I reckon it'll take 30 minutes. And I was like constantly working in a little notebook, trying to like figure out which way was going to be optimal. So there was not a minute of like relaxation, even as a passenger here.
And as I recall, any open moment, I would be like, Toby, look this up. Or Toby, can you check the driving time to this? Or what's the challenge time? Or what's the veto time? And so eventually we would just get to a point in a given day was like, Toby was like, I need a break. Let me drive.
Yeah, that was the point where we first switched driving. I was massively relieved to just hand off that job of having to optimize the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, that was another reason why I wanted to drive the whole time is because I didn't have to deal with any of those things, and Ben did. And also, over time, he got better at it. So, like, yeah, it wouldn't have made sense to lose that sort of...
Well, because it's a lot of, like, advantage. You're juggling trackers and maps, and, yeah, it's just, like, a lot of different little tasks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Toby and I's central thesis for this day one thing was basically that we thought that y'all were consistently underestimating the time it would take to get in and out of the places that kind of anything that requires any sort of admission or setup or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, for example, finding a kayak or getting into a museum or anything like that. Is that right, Toby?
Yeah, yeah. Anything where there's like a barrier to entry, we tried to avoid actually.
And it seemed like that was kind of accurate. I mean, we kind of lose a bit of it on camera, but it took y'all a good bit of time to find a kayak. And then it took y'all a good bit of time to like get to and from like the car park to the adventure park, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so like part of why the adventure park took us a while is that it took Ben quite a while to do the obstacles. But I would say a good chunk of the time we lost was that Ben was so tired at that point. We had to like go up this big hill to get to the adventure park. And Ben was so tired that he like walked up that hill very slowly. I would say we lost easily 10 to 15 minutes walking up and then walking up from the car park into the adventure park and then from the adventure park back to the car park. Would you say that's right, Ben?
Yeah, I think that's about right. It was also further than it was supposed to be on the
map. Out of the way, yeah.
Because like when the map said you had arrived, you just hadn't.
Well, one thing that didn't make the cut that was funny was that like we showed up at the adventure park like right before it was going to close and everybody had left. You notice we're the only people on it because they closed in like half an hour. So we rocked up and we had bought tickets and we were like, hey, do you mind if we go and like run around, you know, for the last little bit? And they were like, yeah, sure. You were here before, right? And we were like, oh yeah, totally. They were like, you remember the safety lecture? And we were like, for sure we do. And they were like, great. Do you remember what life vest you had? And I was like, the red ones. And they were like, perfect.
They 100% thought that we hadn't paid and didn't care.
You think that? I don't think that that's true. But
I don't think that you fooled those women.
I wasn't trying to fool anybody.
I think that they just sincerely didn't care.
They are the ones who said we had been there before. I didn't suggest it. They brought it up.
You're the one who said yes.
But again, we did pay.
We had paid. We had absolutely paid. Yeah, I mean, Ben, do you want to talk about what happened? You know, Hillary Rodham Clinton's memoir, What Happened?
What happened? I was just super tired. I mean, it had already been a long day. And we had just kayaked many meters.
So many meters.
I don't know. I don't know how far. How far do you think we kayaked?
I'm going to get you that number right now.
Because it was, you know, it was quite a distance. We had not eaten anything. So I was very weak. I think that was the major problem is like my ability to like even be standing up straight at that point was low.
Ben, I've got the number. We kayaked 1.4 miles.
It felt like longer than that. So write that down.
We have a question that I think kind of relates to that. Administration Sure 70 asks, can you talk about the mandatory food breaks? And if there is a time they must occur, can a team choose when to take it? Because I think that was a day when we had potentially asked earlier if we wanted to take a food break, but y'all didn't want to because you were facing against the closing time of the adventure park and the clock museum. So maybe you want to explain how exactly this structure works.
The way that the food breaks work this season, we hadn't done this in the past, but we were trying a new system where essentially at any point, any team could call for a break of any duration of time. So you could be like, hey, we need like a 10-minute bathroom break, or hey, we need like a 30-minute food break. And then the other team could agree, or they could say, no, we can't do that right now. But if they agree, then both teams have to take the break before their next challenge or the next intersection.
Yes. We knew that the adventure park was close to closing time. So we said no to the break.
And therefore you were starved.
And therefore we were starved.
There's talk about being starved, and yet you guys are on camera eating a sandwich and a snack zone.
That's true. Well, we ate two chips and collectively one sandwich.
Don't forget the three mouthfuls of whipped cream.
That's true.
And we three ate mouthfuls cream. Of whipped cream. That
That's
is great.
That's absolutely true. Yeah, but speaking of things being closed, and this, I guess, maybe moves to the end and maybe too quickly, but somehow in our notes, the closing time of the clock museum was wrong.
Yeah.
I think maybe it closes at different times on different days. I'm not positive.
Well, we knew that you guys weren't going to make it.
Yes. Well, we cut all of that out because we wanted to allow that moment to be a surprise for the audience. But yes, Sam and Toby had realized much earlier that we were not going to make it to the clock museum in time.
I was actually going to ask, like, I was surprised seeing in the footage y'all being so surprised, essentially, because we thought that, you know, it'd be an easy veto that you'd have done immediately, realizing that it was closed.
Yeah, I don't totally know why we were wrong about it. I just remember that, like, we had originally looked at the hours and we had been like, oh, we're totally good. And then just that whole day, everything that day was taking longer than expected. So we just ended up more and more behind where we had been in the simulations to the point where we were there when it was closed.
I believe there is an interesting audience question about this, actually.
Oh, yes.
Generally.
Great.
Yeah. Esmiora asks, was there thought in the opening times for certain challenges, i.e. was it intentional that everything would not be open, or was that something you realized as you played?
Great question.
Yeah. I mean, so obviously, like, we didn't want anything to be closed when people got there, obviously, because that's just like, I mean, it's like interesting when it happens naturally, but obviously it's boring content if it were planned. But there was kind of no perfect way of doing it, because like there were lots of challenges that involved things that were only open on certain days or only open certain times. And so we had to basically like predict roughly where teams would be at what time every day and use that information to be like, well, we can probably, like, teams will probably be at this challenge around afternoon day two, which means that like we would be able to do X, Y, and Z thing.
Yeah, but we estimated with pretty wide margins. Like, there were lots of things that were not put on the map because we thought they would be closed when we got there. And there were some things where we thought there was a possibility there would be closed. So we had a backup challenge that was like, if this is closed, you can do this thing instead at this same location. But for whatever reason, I think day one, everything was just taking so much longer than expected that we had never considered that the Clock Museum would be closed because it didn't seem like a possibility.
Nope.
Yeah, I think we were a good 2 or 3 hours behind our estimation.
Yeah.
By the time we closed that day.
We were very behind.
But maybe kind of slightly backing up and going to the west side of the island onto Toby and I's adventure. So we started, of course, that route by visiting Tanimahuta, which was, I don't know, pretty straightforward. Toby, have anything to say about that?
Not really. I have more to say about the next challenge, the Kaiiwi Lakes.
Yeah, I mean, that's one where I think it maybe gets lost in the edits somewhat, but that was a challenge. That was, I think, a lot more difficult than we expected it to be.
Yeah, the footage gets massively compressed and kind of cuts out me basically swimming halfway around that massive lake looking desperately for any signs of life. And there was a moment before I found the tiny fish where I actually thought, I was considering having to tell Sam that we would have to veto the challenge. I was like trying to work up the courage to leave the water and tell Sam I just couldn't find anything.
Yeah. I mean, I was on the beach already looking up the veto period. I was like thinking about, oh no, how is this going to impact the rest of our day? I remember we were low on gas. I was trying to figure out whether the rules would allow us to refuel during a veto period. I don't think so. I don't think we clarified it. So I think I was going to text Ben and Adam so we could agree on a rule on that. It was looking bleak for a little bit.
Yeah, the water is like really beautiful and blue, but it was just blue and nothing else. Like there was no fish or even like seaweed or anything really. It was just sand and blue water. And I eventually ran halfway around the lake to a place where the water was really shallow. And that was where I managed to find that little fish.
Well, I remember you were really worried that it wasn't going to be on Cape. That was one of the first things you brought up to us at the end of the game when we all got together. You were like, I don't know if the fish is on camera at the lakes, which had happened 4 days earlier. It was like one of the first things you said.
Yeah, because it was impossible. Like, I remember trying to check, but like on the tiny GoPro screen in the sunlight, it was just like impossible to verify. So we kind of just had to trust that Toby genuinely had saw the fish, which of course Toby wouldn't lie, and hope that it was on the footage.
It was my first time ever using the GoPro. So that's why I was like, I didn't really know how it worked. And I was just hoping that if I pointed at something, that's good enough. And we saw our little fish. So that it was good. It worked out really well in the end, but there was some stressful times that occurred at that lake.
And that lake was so busy. I guess we were on like a touristy route, but it was like pretty empty landscape around it. And then we just popped down to this lake. And I was expecting like to pop out at like a tiny little lake with, you know, maybe a couple, you know, people fishing around it. But there were like hundreds of people there, power boats, I think some jet skis and everything. So the second I got there, I think we might have mentioned this on camera, but like I was just like, all the fish are going to be scared away because there's just so much activity.
The thing was, there were two lakes you could go to, but there was a typo in the challenge where it didn't say Lake Kaiiwi. It said Lake Kiwi. And Lake Kaiiwi is a smaller lake that is less popular, where you would have likely had an easier time finding fish. It was spelled correctly in the challenge title, but I think you did not notice the challenge title and you only looked at the description.
No, yeah. We looked at the description because I remember like as I was going through, I was like trying to figure out where Lake Kiwi was and I couldn't find a Lake Kiwi in like, you would think that somewhere in New Zealand there'd be a Lake Kiwi, but I couldn't find a single Lake Kiwi. And I even looked, I mean, I just didn't want to risk it basically because I saw the lake next to it. I even saw that there was some sort of Google entry for like snorkeling in that lake. Seemingly that lake next to it was like a snorkel destination. That would have been much easier, but I didn't want to risk it and risk having, you know, violated the rules of the challenge. So, but it all worked out in the end. And then the next challenge, one of my favorites of the entire season, partially because like that's just like what I do for fun is climb mountains. And this one was a delightful little...
Toby, was it delightful for you?
Delightful. That's a great word for that mountain. Yes, delightfully steep.
It was very steep. Do you know if it was like a cinder cone? It was some sort of really like prominent volcanic structure.
I don't know what it was.
Do I know if it was a cinder cone? I don't even know what a cinder cone is.
Well, it was just like a very pointy thing.
NewZealand.com says it's the plug of an ancient volcano. Do you know what that means?
I think that's roughly what a cinder cone is. Yeah, well, like basically the tip of an old volcano. Yeah. But yeah, so I was like, it was so pointy. It was just like rolling hills around it and then whoop, little pointy bit. So you had like 360 views all around. I loved it. In classic style, I think it looked even cooler in person than it looks on camera. But yeah, I guess Toby was less of a fan of hill climbing.
Look, it was a nice challenge. Like it was a fun thing to do. I just was extremely exhausted and clinging to life by the time I got to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must have been a bit out of it when I got to the top because I was watching the episode and I had no memory at all of basically what we said at the top or like me giving you the berry. And I saw the
you
berry in the
Sam
episode.
The berry is so
I'm like,
funny.
What am I doing? What the heck is going on? I had no memory of that.
One of my favorite shots in this whole season is when Sam looks down and you're like facing the wrong way and you just say, "Where am I?" You're just clearly so disoriented and tired at that point.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that I remember seeing the cut, because Ben edited this together, and I remember seeing the cut and being like, I don't know, man, they spend a really long time doing the compliments at the top. I was like, especially Sam, like his compliment about Toby's channel, like it's kind of long, we might want to cut that down. And Ben was like, the cut of this is 10% of what Sam said. So like,
yeah, Sam had a very, very rambly compliment.
And this was the only way that we could cut it.
Sorry. It was genuine. That's how you know it's genuine. Had to be genuine.
Well, it's very sweet. It's very sweet. It was a very sweet and genuine compliment. And I thought that it was lovely, but it was just very funny to me. That it was like, oh, we actually can't cut it down anymore. And the full version of this is like 4 minutes of Sam rambling about Toby's channel and how he thinks it's great.
Oh, thank you, Sam.
Yeah, you're welcome. Moving. Sorry, that sounded really not genuine, but hey, it's not required. If it's not required in a challenge, then I don't do it, right? So should we do our other questions?
We have some more questions.
I'll start with one that I guess I well, we kind of skipped over the Bay of Islands somewhat. I think I saw a lot of iterations of this question. 12739101 asks, question for Ben and Adam. When you were at the Bay of Islands, was it the bluest sky you've ever seen?
Probably.
Probably. I will say it looked about the same as any other blue sky that I've seen.
Yeah. Seems like a marketing gimmick.
Yeah. I don't really know what the deal is with that fact, but I had heard that fact several times and it sounds interesting. For what it's worth, the bluest sky in the world is in Rio.
Great.
Nice. Here's another one that I forgot to ask at the right time. Did Sam and Toby make any money off the scratchies?
Yeah, we actually made a total of 38 New Zealand dollars off the scratchy tickets, which I still have in New Zealand cash, actually. Sam, I'll have to give you half when I next see you. But I cashed them in just before I got on a flight back home to Australia so that the cash wasn't too useful to me at that point. The moral of the story is that the gambling didn't pay off, actually, because we won $38, but we spent $50 on those tickets. We bought 5 of the $10 ones.
I'm glad you had time to cash those in. I actually didn't know because that happened after I left at the end of the game. That's good. But two interesting things. First of all, I think that's exactly roughly the probability that we calculated. Like it was like a 2/3 probability, and that's roughly 2/3 of $50, right?
Sure, yeah. We thought the odds were in our favor to win something. Winning $38 was actually a surprise. It was more than I think we expected, but still not enough to break even.
And the other interesting thing about those scratchies is we got, I think, 3 and 3 of 2 different styles. The first style was like the one that you saw that we won on in the show. And then we had these 3 other ones that were like crossword based. I could not for the life of me figure out how those work.
The crossword lemons?
Yeah.
Yeah, those. I like read the instructions repeatedly. Probably I'm just dumb because clearly Toby figured it out. But I spent like genuinely 30 minutes on another day of the episode in the passenger seat trying to figure that out and failing. They were so complicated. So I'm glad we didn't have to do those in a rushed manner, you know, sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah.
That would have wasted a ton of time.
One fun behind the scenes fact about this challenge was like, you know, we had to confirm all the challenges were possible. So originally, this challenge had grown out of the fact that I was looking for anything that was in Kaio and there's like nothing, but there was like a Shell gas station. And I was like, well, gas stations sell scratch off tickets. So like that would be a fun challenge there. But then to confirm, I had to call them to make sure. So like I called this random gas station in New Zealand and they, I imagine, don't get a lot of calls, and they pick up the phone and it's just this American who is just like, hi, do you sell scratch off tickets? And they were like, do we sell what? And I was like, do you sell scratch off tickets? They said, what is a scratch off? And I was like, oh, you might call them something else. And I'm frantically Googling and I'm like, scratchies? Do you sell scratchies? And they were like, you mean the lotto? No. And I was like, I'm sorry. And I got the phone. And then I looked more and I found the Foursquare and I called them as well. And I was like, do you sell scratchies? They were like, yeah, you want to buy some? And I was like, no, I'm just asking. I said, do you sell scratchies? And they went, you want to buy scratchies? I was like, no, I don't want to buy them. I just want to know, do you sell them? And he went, well, we've got a lotto, yeah. And I was like, great, thank you. And then I hung up. And you've got to imagine that that guy the rest of the day was waiting for me to show up. Like, why would I have possibly done that? I did not realize that it would, in fact, be 3 weeks until someone finally came to make good on that call.
Yeah, yeah. The two of us were in quite a rush to buy the scratchies. And we had like the microphones, the cameras, everything. We were probably quite the scene.
I wonder if, because I saw the footage and it was a woman there that you bought them from. So I wonder if she ever talked to the guy that I called and they ever put together what had happened.
I don't know.
I don't think I talked. They didn't know it was an American.
Yeah, but you saw the cameras.
Yeah, maybe. Pretty covert in shops, gotten good at it.
Anyway, that's my story.
We had another quick question. What is your process for testing and balancing the numbers of the game? Oh, this is by NoSam555. Wow. Oh, okay.
Brutal.
Like, for example, was Skip a Challenge always 100 coins? And if not, how did it go from its original value to this one? I think the last recalibration of power-up amounts happened the day before we left, right?
That's correct. Yeah, Challenge Skip was originally 50.
I mean, this is basically all of what the playtesting and kind of game design process is about. The reason why we tie elements like this to a currency is we realize that that allows us to do the overall game design and then calibrate it as we test. So like we know, for example, like, oh, if this game is going too slow, then we probably need to make power-ups a little bit more expensive so that they happen less frequently, or, you know, vice versa. So like that really allows, you know, an easier kind of game design process on our end because we can keep testing and make those tweaks up until the last minute.
But yeah, there are a lot of changes. Originally, roadblocks were more expensive. Originally, turning your tracker off was less expensive. I think Nerf Bullet was originally more expensive. So yeah, there were lots of changes that we changed as we balanced.
So another question from CassNK789. I'm going to flip the order. Toby, who are your favorite bardcore artists? And then for me, Sam, what is your favorite Lizzo song?
Yeah, there's a bardcore artist on YouTube in particular called Beedle the Bardcore, who does the Eminem soundtracks. So they're probably my favorite.
So you did say Eminem. I was wondering if I misheard you in that footage. I was like, that can't be what she said, right? No, it is. Great.
I remember seeing that footage because Ben edited that part together and laughing so hard when I found out that you listened to Bardcore, because it's the most on-brand thing I had ever heard in my whole life.
There's a lot of random things we say in the car, and I don't expect most of them to make it into the edit. So I was surprised to see that one there. But yeah, happy to represent the community.
I was genuinely really curious because I had never heard of Bardcore. We listened to a little bit. It was something.
I saw a tweet today that some of the jet lag super fans who sort of started the fandom, two of them, Joe and Ali, apparently for a week had gone down a really intense Bardcore rabbit hole. And they were very excited to hear you representing for Bardcore.
Oh, that's cool.
That's awesome.
Well, Sam, what's your favorite Lizzo songs? Is that the question?
Oh, easy answer. Truth Hurts by Lizzo, you know. My man, great till they gotta be great.
Sing more. Keep going.
I just took a DNA test. Turns out I am 100% that bitch. Even when I'm crying crazy. Yeah, I got boy.
Keep going. Yeah.
That's a human in me. Bling, bling. That I got. That's a goddess in me. That's enough.
Wow. We got so much more than I thought we were going to get.
That's why you pay for Nebula, folks.
That was awesome. Yeah.
Great song.
That.
Lizzo's amazing. Lizzo, invite me to a concert. I feel like it would be one of the best concert experiences of all time.
Yeah. Lizzo listens to this podcast for sure.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So we have a bit of a nuanced question here. It's kind of a what if question. It's by Yadandy. It's a great name, Yadandy. I want to read this slow because it's a little bit complicated. Does unlocking happen the moment the challenge is completed or only after the team that completed it passes the roadblock? I think by that they mean the gate. Hypothetically, if Sam and Toby had gone the same route and tracked where Ben and Adam were, could they have gone back past the gate once while Ben and Adam reached the third island while they were going back to shore and returning the kayak? Basically, the question is, does the gate, you know, we have these gates that are essentially what open once you complete a challenge. Does that open when a challenge is completed or when the team that has completed the challenge goes through the gate?
Yeah, it's when the team goes through the gate. So this was something we have wanted to explain this in the show, but it is very complicated to explain. And it, you know, has not been that relevant at any point yet in the game. But we basically figured out that this problem existed, which is that, yeah, like Sam and Toby could have followed behind us. And then while we were still on the third island, having completed the challenge, they could have passed that challenge marker and taken the lead, even though we did the challenge. And that would be dumb, right? So the gate doesn't open until the team that completed the challenge goes through it.
One of the biggest concerns for this rule was the very first challenge, because we knew that we would be doing the sandboarding at the same time. And if a team completed the sandboarding, there's a good chance that the other team would actually still be in first just because they pulled out of the parking lot first. Although ultimately that didn't happen because Adam lost his jacket, but we wouldn't have been allowed to leave until Sam and Toby left anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think this was one of the game design things where it's kind of a little bit awkward either way we do it.
Yeah.
But this way seemed a little bit fairer. This could hypothetically lead to awkward scenarios where like the other team is just like waiting around at the gate for the other team to pass and like a couple other things like that. But it just was fairer and I think less awkward than the alternative. So that's why we went with this one. All right, one last question. This one I think is mostly for Ben and Adam. American Mania asks, have you reconsidered the balance of the 5 challenges to 3 that we've seen in this episode? It seems that even in ideal situations, which they were not, it would still lead to a significantly slower time than the Western route. Was there another factor considered, such as both teams taking the same route? To me, it just seems like a no-brainer to go west, but the Eastern challenges seem more fun.
Well, the thing you have to know first is the West route is a full 74 minutes of driving time longer than the East route. So, you know, if you assume 74 minutes, right, of additional time on the West route, plus, you know, we assumed 10 minutes for the tree, I think. We assumed a half hour for the snorkeling. And I think we assumed about a half hour for the mountain, right?
Yeah.
That's 144 minutes that Ben and I would have to do the Eastern route challenges, and it comes out the same, right? And we thought that was relatively realistic. We were like, okay, if the Bay of Islands takes an hour, right, then that's still 84 minutes left to do the rest. The bathroom should only take 5 minutes, 79 minutes left. The clock museum, we figured that'll only take about 5 minutes, you know, 74 minutes. And then there's the adrenaline park. We thought, you know, maybe 20 minutes. So that's 54. And then, you know, there's one more challenge on that route, which, you know, I would say we didn't expect to take any longer than, you know, 20-ish minutes. So like by all that logic, we actually would have gone out ahead from the East route. It's just that everything took longer than we expected. But I think in the simulation, like it was not unreasonable to assume that the East route could have been faster. And I still think it could have been faster if we had not taken so long at the adventure park and if we had been more efficient with the kayaks.
Obviously, we thought that the Western route was faster, but it wasn't massively, you know, unbalanced, I don't think, even looking at it in retrospect, at least with the knowledge that I think we had going into this. I do think that it was, you know, just a situation where, again, like it was us against Ben and Adam's assumptions, and those assumptions were incorporated in the game design. I do remember, though, for what it's worth, in a lot of our meetings, I remember always going like, I don't know, you know, with the time that it'll take to set up and get in and get tickets, it seems like it'll take longer. And we would always compromise on our time estimates somewhere in the middle of like what you thought. And so like we actually pulled them up somewhat because I think y'all maybe just somewhat chronically underestimate or like you're overly optimistic about the setup time for these.
Well, to an extent, but I also will say, I would say that there was a high density of challenges that ended up taking longer than expected in the Northland area. And later, there will be challenges, multiple challenges that will take less time than was expected.
Yep.
Like, I think if you took, if you looked at the entire game and you averaged everything out, I bet challenges ultimately took about as long as had been predicted overall.
I agree that there was some, you know, repeated slowness and bad luck that probably makes that seem, you know, in the edit where you lose a lot of the nuance and the stuff that happens in the background, it probably makes it seem a lot more unbalanced than it actually was. It's not like Toby and I immediately were like, oh yeah, this is like stupid. You know, this is a stupid route. This is definitely the right one. Like, we definitely still had to put some real thought into that, which I think shows that on both of our sides, we thought it was relatively well balanced. But on our side, we just thought that the Western route was better.
And you were right. Toby, last week you said that you had questions for us that you didn't get to ask because we went long. So are there any rapid fire questions that you wanted to know from us?
I wanted to know if you ate the rest of the bread that you bought.
No.
No. I don't even remember what happened to it.
That's a shame.
We ate a little bit more of it, but not all of it.
For this episode in particular, the only thing I was really looking forward to seeing was the obstacle course footage that you had hyped up at the end of the game when we reconvened as being very hilarious, which it was. So thank you for providing that footage for us.
Oh, you're welcome. That was
so welcome
to provide to you.
Like many moments, there's so much of this show that it's just like watching y'all and being like, oh man, that looks like so much more fun than what we did.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun for me. It was maybe the worst experience of Ben's life, but...
And then I threw up.
Yeah, you know? Then Ben did a big throw up.
We didn't even get to address that on the podcast, but I threw up.
Didn't even get to address that. I remember after, Ben kept talking about how much lake water he swallowed, which I really didn't understand, because I'm like, swallowing is like a voluntary action. I don't understand how you could, by accident, swallow that much lake water.
Not when you fall into the lake, it isn't.
Okay.
I still would dispute that.
I would definitely dispute
it. Look,
let's
just say the lake water got in there somehow.
We don't know Ben's biology, physiology, or whatever.
That's true. Maybe, you know.
Everyone's unique.
I just have an easier time swallowing lake water than most folks.
He's got one of those lake water mouths.
Yeah.
And that's what makes Ben special.
And that's a perfect place to end the podcast.
Well, yes. Roll credits.
Are there credits?
No. No, I just don't know what else to say.
All right. Well, we'll see you next week. We're going to recap episode 3. It's a really good episode. I'm really excited
for people
to see it.
The drama starts to really heat up.
Things really start to heat up in episodes 3 and 4.
Really with every episode, but like, yeah, it's like, I think it really starts to get serious episode 3.
It starts to get serious in episode 3, and it's very serious for all of episode 4.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.